No Turkey Day hangover. Back to work. Playoffs around the corner. Let's talk strategy. Did I play Jalen Reed instead of DJ Metcalf this week? And more would you rather? Also, Cowboys and Seahawks, Roman candles and M80 fireworks going off all night. We got reload. Also, my DFS diamond picks of the week. We'll sift through the rough and find the precious gems we need to dominate week 13. Now, let's go. Time to learn, scout, win, and repeat. Let's continue the process. Hopping back into it, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be back after a week off. So if you want to know how we did last week, we didn't. I didn't do the podcast, but I didn't do any bets as well. And, you know, it's important sometimes to take your foot off the gas. It was interesting to, you know, I haven't done that in years during the season, not worrying about a podcast or making picks or anything like that. But ready to come back with clarity and just after taking a moment away to enjoy the game. Very nice to return and ready to finish off the season, though. So no picks to report last week, but we do want to reset and dive back in because playoffs are in 2 weeks, so we can't get squirrely now. It is time for us to put the women and children in the bed and go looking for dinner, as we say. All the ducks are in the row. Everything is lined up in terms of what are my strategies going to be? Who am I playing? All that has got to be settled at this point. We're just letting it ride out and see where the chips land based off of True Life production. But if you haven't already, take a look at if you're on the outskirts of the playoffs, what does it take to get in? Who do I need to be? What does their matchups look like over the next couple of weeks? And just get yourself familiar with understanding what is it going to take to win this week, to win next week, and start thinking about that ahead of time. That's how you stay like game in the playoffs, but that's also how we move along during the season too. So if there's not a way that you think about the season, you might want to start doing that now. Also, Thursday night football. Actually, before we get to Thursday night football, let's talk about before even that game. For me, it was more of a, the beginnings of the would you rather conundrums, Jaden Reed or DJ Metcalf. Okay, so let's discuss that for a second. DJ Metcalf obviously been underperforming all season long, and the reason why I wanted to talk to you guys about this, obviously he had a great game, but we'll go to that in a second. I wanted to talk about it because I have Jaden Reed. I have other teams where I have, you know, Samuel from the Commanders or Dotson, but I'm mostly thinking about this team where I have Jaden Reed. You know, I'm trying to make the playoffs. This is a flex spot. And my thought was Reed is, you know, last week he scored a touchdown, double-digit point production in standard league. And so I'm left wondering, am I playing the wrong guy? Do I need to switch up my depth chart? So I say all that to say that I stood pat with, you know, DJ Metcalf this week. And I think that was the right thing to do. Let's take a look at who is getting a bigger share of the targets. That's DJ Metcalf. Who's seeing more time on the field? That's Metcalf. Reed is getting a lot of looks when he's out there, but he's getting a lot of attention. But he's, you know, in terms of, you know, even on the depth chart, he's still behind Watts and he's still behind Dobbs. So limited package sets when you're going to see him versus always having Metcalf on the field. Always having those targets and looks. Now, as we've seen all season, it may not go our way, but having a guy out there with the opportunity to score is what we want. Luckily, I did play Metcalf this week in almost every scenario that I needed to make a choice. There is one league where I didn't. And of course, you're kicking yourself now because you got 30 points on the bench. I sincerely hope that was not any one of you guys. And, you know, lesson learned to just keep following the process. Yes, there's going to be bad weeks with him, but maybe you need this week to get to the playoffs, and if you didn't play him, he can't help you get there. Finally, in housekeeping, Thursday night football, we got a lot of fireworks. The Seattle offense came out of nowhere. I mean, we've been talking about DJ Metcalf already, but two touchdowns, I mean, over 100 yards. It was a phenomenal day. Everything you're hoping that you're getting in some when you draft him probably as highly as you did. So great payoff there, but Geno Smith really came out of his shell, not afraid to throw it downfield early in the game, whenever they thought they needed to. Seattle did a great job trying to control this environment in Dallas. I mean, they came in there ready to play football leading into the half. They did all the things right. Their backs were against the wall coming into 6-5, and they played like a team that was ready to come away with a victory. Unfortunately, they ran into the Dallas Cowboys that have been playing well as of late. Dak Prescott playing well as of late. So that was a problem. CeeDee Lamb, untouchable today. You know, for all the cool stuff that DJ Metcalf did, CeeDee Lamb had a great day as well. Unbelievable what he's able to do amidst that sub-zone coverage. So, you know, Seattle's defense let them down once the offense actually came out of their shell and did what they haven't been able to do all year, which is, you know, score points, touchdowns, not field goals, and get up early to have a lead to play with. So they couldn't capitalize today. And that's definitely going to – I mean, they're not dead in the playoffs, but that definitely hurts. You know, this is a game you have to have considering how much they got up for it and how well they did play for it. On the other side, for Dallas, you got to feel good. You beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Now, of course, they got to work on beating the Eagles and the Niners, but the teams that Dallas are supposed to beat, they beat. This is a sign of that tonight, and not panicking and staying in the game and eventually coming back to make that victory. 35-41, Dallas ends up taking it, and they're just turning themselves into a playoff team, rounding into form, getting ready for whatever will be next. But that's our housekeeping for week 13, just a few things to tidy up, and now we're ready to keep it moving.
Let's play a little round of Would You Rather. I will go through 12 conundrums and tell you whether I would rather play this player or that player this week.
All right, so on to a little bit of a Would You Rather. And, of course, we're going to talk with Superflex in mind as well. So let me just get up to that Superflex. There we go. Okay. So this week's Would You Rather. And, again, we already talked about the Jaden Reed or DJ Metcalf, and hopefully you went with Metcalf. Patrick Mahomes or Brock Purdy. Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now this week they are playing. Who the Chiefs are playing? They're playing Green Bay, actually, on the road in Green Bay. Now Brock Purdy, going on the road to Philadelphia to face the Eagles. So in this one, you know, I'm looking at Purdy's in a better environment, but I'm gonna say Mahomes. Great week last week. Starting to turn it on. They're rounding into playoff form, quite simply. Easier matchup for Mahomes and company in terms of like team and record. Maybe easier matchup for Brock Purdy in terms of personnel and defense. But when we get to reload, we'll talk a little more about that game. But I'm going to go this week with Mahomes over Purdy, and that will be the wrong thing to have done for most of the season. But I think this week it plays in his favor as they continue to round on the floor. All right, next up, DJ Metcalf or Rashee Rice. And again, and I can tell you right now, based off of housekeeping and how we talked about that and walked through it, I know sometimes we run up against some of these conundrums. They, you know, the game's already played, so we can't make that pick. But it's easy to say Metcalf here over Rice. Rice, obviously, the number one preferred option in terms of Kansas City receivers. But one-on-one Metcalf over Rice, you got to say Metcalf for targets, plays on the field, average depth of target. I mean, I could go on. Chris Olave or Nico Collins. Olave a little banged up. A few less options in New Orleans this week. Nico Collins, I like it. It should be a competitive game against Denver. I would rather take an opportunity there versus Olave, who you're hoping play, but you know, that's just we're hoping right now. All right, Najee Harris versus Jaylen Warren. This is a good one. And, you know, Najee Harris has the hot hand as of last week, basically. But, you know, flip of the coin for me, if I had to pick one, you know, I would say probably just on DraftKings because Najee Harris is a little cheaper. We go, you know, but I honestly don't have a preference between the two. Very high on the two this week, as you guys will discover later on. But, you know, if you're flipping a coin between the two of these, I would say play them together and maybe think about what the other option is that you're thinking about playing. If there's a flex, there's another running back or something, you know, think about it like that. Now, if you do got the other running back that's like McCaffrey or something like that, and this is the second running back choice, and it really is just a, you know, this guy or that guy, then I'm going to go with Harris. Derek Carr or Kyler Murray this week. Derek Carr is in the better environment. However, his receiving core is a little banged up. I'm going to stay away from him because of that. Kyler Murray's environment is a little tougher, but it's not impossible if they can evade the rush. Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, or Derek Carr. Now, I will take Derek Carr's situation perhaps over Matthew Stafford's this week. Now, Stafford has his guys, but man-to-man coverage has not been something that the Rams have handled well this year at all. And I wouldn't want to be taking chances there. I would go with Carr over Stafford. Alvin Kamara this week or DeAndre Swift. I'm going to go with Kamara because even in tough matchups, Kamara can be a part of the passing game too, which is very important. So especially when you have receivers that are on the shelf for New Orleans, that makes Kamara's, you know, I guess, a commodity as a receiver that much better. So easy to say Kamara over DeAndre Swift, who's in a tougher matchup versus the Niners this week. Brandon Cooks over Puka Nacua for sure. Wouldn't have been a choice there. Again, Puka, same sort of thing as I was talking about with Stafford, just man-to-man coverage not going very well for the Rams this year, and I keep referencing that because Cleveland plays it at a high rate. Now, Puka Nacua would be the guy that the Rams seem to go to in those scenarios, but I didn't have high hopes here. Would have easily played Brandon Cooks over him, and Cooks paid off before he got a touchdown. Dak Prescott over or Brock Purdy. Now, this is an interesting one. Prescott going today. I think if it was seasonal, I probably would lean towards Purdy just based off production. Again, another, you know, flip of the dime type scenario situation. But I probably would have said Purdy just based off of expecting Pollard and the run game to get going a little more. So I would have said Dak and the Cowboys would win, but he would not have to do as much as he did end up doing. So in that scenario, I probably would have went with Purdy. And you see Dak had a good game, so we'll have to see what happens with Purdy. Now, Derek Carr or Gardner Minshew, you know, I know Minshew's in a good spot. Tennessee's pretty vulnerable. You can do it if you want to. I really think it depends on, for Carr, this one. We have to see what receivers play and which guys don't. So basically, if you're following this game here, would you rather, you know, I play Minshew over Stafford, is what I'm saying. And Carr, as you see, I'm 50-50 over Minshew, just based on which of his receivers are going to play. Now, if Olave is going to play, but we don't get Rashid, and obviously we don't have Michael Thomas, then maybe you might think about Minshew here. But if we hear that one of the receivers, like, you know, Shaheed's going to play, then even a little banged up, I'd rather take Derek Carr because this is a great environment for them. All right, Calvin Ridley or Javonte Williams this week. Jaguars are facing the Cincinnati Bengals, and really not in a bad spot, but it's more Christian Kirk, I think, this week, as we'll discover later. And so I would say Javonte Williams, I think, will play a pivotal role against this Houston defense. And then finally, the last week, rather conundrum, Deebo Samuel or Michael Pittman Jr. This one, I got to go with Pittman Jr. not to say Deebo couldn't have a good Sunday, guys, but of the San Fran receivers, I like Ayuk the most. And Michael Pittman is definitely in a crush spot versus this Tennessee secondary. So that's who I would rather there. And those are who I would rather for those 12 conundrums. Now, hopefully that helps you guys decide who you would rather.
And now it's time for the process to reload.
Picking it up and taking it right along. Let's hop over Thursday night football and reload Sunday. Chargers going to New England. Interesting football game here for the Chargers. Look, New England doesn't have a quarterback, so we think the Chargers can win this game. They can win this game off the strength of their defense, I'm assuming. Yeah, Zappy's going to play over Mac Jones. I don't think that really matters that much. Jones is going to be the emergency quarterback. And, you know, it's Ramon Stevenson. If you got him in season, that's a fine play, especially versus the Chargers defense. I don't like much of anything in the New England passing game. I know Hunter Henry's there. If you're, you know, you got a bye week with your tight end, you're desperate. Devontae Parker is playing again. But again, I was more confident in his target share when Mac Jones was playing. Not really sure what to expect now. Chargers defense is really the way to go here. As far as the Chargers offense goes, Eckler hasn't set the world on fire. It's a middling spot as well. So it's kind of like, you know, can this pay off? Sure. Will it pay off? Who knows? We'll have to see. But as far as the passing game goes, yes, we can invest in Keenan Allen for sure. Keenan Allen would be the spot here versus this zone. Versus this man defense that New England mostly plays. This is J.C. Jackson facing the team that let him go just a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago. But that was for performance. He didn't even travel overseas with New England. I think it was to Germany when they went, or London. But he's going to play in this one. And I don't have good hopes for it. I think Keenan Allen is in a great spot right here for sure. I don't like anything else. Guyton, I don't like it. Gerald Everett, I don't like it. You know, Herbert should have a tougher day, but should be able to find Keenan Allen. There's just not enough other viable, healthy weapons for him. So they'll go that route. But they should win this game off the strength of New England, not really having much to offer. Reload. Arizona going over to Pittsburgh Sunday morning. So, you know, Pittsburgh, for their part, they've been coming on a little strong. They had a great game last week for the passing game. I don't know if that's something we can expect week in and week out. I know they fired Matt Canada. There's always, you know, a little bit of a fire once we have the reshuffle. But you guys are going to have to show it to me in terms of me believing that this is the team that they're going to be each and every week. Not seeing it yet. But if you want to go with somebody there, it would be Gerald Pickens. Freiermuth also in play. Those are fine seasonal plays. If you got him, DFS, I'm staying away. But Jalen Warren and Najee Harris, very much have interest in both of those, especially for DFS. Going to pay down both of those, actually. So a lot of interest there against this Arizona defense. I don't think they have what it takes to stop the run. They're ranked poorly against it, too. Pittsburgh, for their part, should lean into it. This is a team that's going to gut out wins and get in the way that they can. They can win this game on grimy defense and running this football. You've got two running backs that you can slam at them over and over again, and we've seen them do this earlier in the year. We actually won our draft team double ups though that week when we used the tandem of Warren and Harris. So we're going to go back to that this week. Not to be a copycat move. That's not the only reason we're doing it, but it's a really good matchup that it can pay down with. And like you said, and would you rather, there's no picking, right? Let's just play them both. That's what I like on the Pittsburgh side. Their defense is, I think, a fair play, but I don't want a part of it because I think Kyler Murray has an opportunity to find these, you know, they've got some bodies out there, and I like Michael Wilson above all else. If he's healthy and he plays, I think they can find him in his zone coverage. that is something that's interesting. Marquise Brown is out there. If Wilson doesn't play, I like the whole idea a lot less. Not high on Trey McBride this week, maybe a little down, we can say, but definitely liking the idea of Wilson. And if Wilson goes, that opens up the world for Brown a little bit, especially in the one-on-one situations. Those kind of seem to be what he thrives in. But I would take a chance on him, maybe just on Wilson plays. Arizona defense, staying away from it. I think they're going to have their hands full all day with that run. They're going to have to try to get off the field. Pittsburgh finds a way to win this game at home and advance to 8-4. Keep those playoff hopes looking sparkly. Reload. Indianapolis going to Tennessee. Okay, so this will be an interesting game because Tennessee will have the services of Derrick Henry, and he ran really well last week, turning it on a bit. I like that again this week versus this Indianapolis team. You want to slow it down and control the game. Try to play better defense. They know they don't have really much of a quarterback scenario in terms of Tennessee, right? Like, Levis hasn't been setting the world on fire. He does it worse, actually. We're going to have to see somebody else come back in. So, not a lot to expect there. It is a nice scenario versus that zone defense versus for DeAndre Hopkins, but I just don't have a lot of faith in it. If you've got Hopkins, seasonal play, it feels great about it. DFS, I'm going to stay away from it. But Derrick Henry, that's a nice play. I've got no problems with that. Probably fading Tyson Spears. On the Indianapolis side of things, you don't have Jonathan Taylor. You have the hand injury. Sorry, I'm fumbling the words. It gets late in the evening, folks. We'll get it right. Let's tighten it up right now. Jonathan Taylor, hand injury, will not be playing this week or for the next couple of weeks. And so Zach Moss, load him up. Hopefully you didn't let him go. And hopefully if you're a Taylor owner, you have handcuffed. He's in play. We're not going to use it on DFS because Tennessee is actually pretty stout against the run. So while we know who's getting the touches there, and we do want shares of the backfield that we're certain of, it's just not a good scenario. Easier way to attack Tennessee is through the air. That is a very porous Tennessee secondary. And so we're looking at Josh Downs. We're looking at Michael Pittman. I want Pittman so badly for DFS to fit it in. I don't think we can fit it in, but Dallas is in a good spot too. Very consistent. You look at his game log week over week. Not a lot missing from that guy. He's involved and he's consistent. Not setting the world of fire in terms of going above and beyond the ceiling, but certainly the floor is higher than most, I would say, in the wide receiver realm that's out there on the waiver wire right now. So be in consideration there. But certainly him and Pittman in a great place. Pittman fired up. Not interested in the tight ends at all. Or really the Indy defense. I mean, you can use it to save money, but there's other scenarios you may go if you want to save money. So in terms of who wins this game, we're going to have to give it to Indianapolis just because I think better quarterback play. Minshew will be able to find his guys. Tennessee secondary is just too bad. I think the game can get out of hand from them. And they don't have enough consistent play at quarterback to stay in this one. Their only reprieve will be a colder day where Derrick Henry just kind of does his thing. And while I think he's a nice play, I won't pay for him on DFS. It's a little too expensive for that. If you got him this season, I'll go ahead and roll him out. But I think it's less likely that he gets a fresh game and more likely that Indianapolis goes on the road, gets a 7-5, walks away with this tough divisional victory. Reload. Denver at Houston. Look, all Russ and Denver has done is 1-5 straight. They're on a roll. It doesn't look pretty at times. It's not sexy, but they're getting the job done. That's all that matters. He's been consistent. That's what we want. Great floor. We're going to take that this week in DFS. We're going to play him on DraftKings because of that floor. At $5,700, we know that he is definitely able to pay off 3.5 times multiplier. That is the main thing that we're looking for on DraftKings. Not can I get a guy that's serviceable, can double the salary. Can we smash 3.5 times X? This is the guy that can do it. We want to lean into that for sure this week, especially when people will be, for DFS purposes, migrating to more popular things like, for example, Purdy at 6,200, Howell at 6,100. Those guys will be there. There's also other guys that seem attractive on the surface, like Carr. You may get some looks as well, and I'm sure Hurts will have a little bit of ownership too. But Russ Wilson in a great spot. Houston giving up the point, specifically on the back end. If not the running back, Javonte Williams will have a he has a chance to have a decent day. I think he has a chance to use volume to his advantage. He's obviously a clear-cut running back there. But the way to attack this defense in Houston is to pass against them, and at the end of the game, they seem to break down consistently. They've been having these exciting games, and if you guys really think about that at the end of the game, all we really remember is Stroud running around doing these great things and this, you know, crazy comeback victory. But for that to happen, the defense got to be blocking up the back end. So Denver played this week, and specifically we want to say Sutton over Judy. Judy is a bit more efficient, especially when it's man-to-man coverage involved. However, volume is king, and Sutton's getting more volume by a little bit than Judy. And so we would like Sutton. We're going to use him to our advantage because I think they're going to be on the road, trailing in a game that they should be in it to win it. I don't think they will win this football game, but I like the production coming from the standpoint of not too tough of a defense for them to really be able to shut them down. But I do think Stroud and company will be able to do something. So that means that I'm expecting something on the offensive side. Denver can be ran on, but it's not as bad as you think. They've been shoring it up a little bit over the past couple of weeks. But you know, you got Singletary and Pierce. I think Pierce is not going away. If you want to play Singletary, that's great. For seasonal, you can play Singletary and feel fine. If you need to play Pierce, do it. But I just feel it's more of a hot hand thing right now, and Singletary seems to have it. Not a lot of confidence there. But in terms of going against this Denver secondary, you know, it would be Nico Collins I'd be looking at, and it would definitely be Tank Dell. Now, Tank Dell doesn't play Nico Collins, and you know, Noah Brown becomes a little bit more advantageous to have, if that makes sense. But Robert Woods is probably the odd man out there. Stroud is in play for sure. Houston, I think, will do just enough to win. It'll be another exciting one. They'll come through in the end. Maybe the defense has given up points down the stretch, finally makes one stop. Something like that's going to happen. But I think Stroud and company move to 7-5. They've been quiet. They're rolling Denver Broncos, who are looking for six straight. I don't think they're going to get it on the road here. Houston reload. Detroit going on the road to take on the New Orleans Saints. Okay, this would be a great spot for New Orleans. We talked about in weeks past the weapons they have and, you know, the ways that they can offensively, you know, put this team in play to be in the playoffs, and they're in a positive environment down the stretch against some very bad defenses. But injuries are starting to catch up to them. You don't have Michael Thomas. You know, now you might not have Olave or Shahid. This means that, you know, AT Perry, that's the guy that becomes kind of the fact of number one out there. There's nobody else out there. But more importantly than that, you got Kamara, who's going to be in the passing game as always involved. And you got to look at Juwan Johnson. He saw the most targets and receptions last week of his season so far. So we see what their idea was once the receiving core got a little thin. They go to Juwan Johnson. I think that's going to be more of a thing this week. You'll see him. Some, you know, maybe if Olave plays. I don't think Shahid is going to play still. So there's still a need there. Juwan Johnson fills that. I think against this Detroit defense, that's definitely the way to go. But passing is the way to go against Detroit. A little tougher to run against them. So as far as that goes, not sure if Kamara's going to have all the room in the world. But again, he's probably the best pass-catching back in the league still at this point, you know, barring David McCaffrey. So he's going to be involved. In terms of Detroit's defensive prowess, they're hoping to take advantage of a situation on the road where these injuries pile up and stop the world, because I truly think that if the world was 100%, they could just win this game. For the Detroit offense, they can get away with a little bit of, like, there's going to be a little bit of man coverage. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the guy. Josh Reynolds may be a little bit of play, but I don't think anybody else can be trusted. It's Amon-Ra. But you can only go to him so many times. Now, if Jordan doesn't play, if Cam Jordan doesn't play, that will help the game to rush a little bit, so that'll help things for Detroit. We'll have to see. But as far as tight end goes, I like LaPorta. He's going to be key in helping take the pressure off of St. Brown. I think the two of them can help get the job done. But I'm not expecting much on the ground between Gibbs and Montgomery. I do think Montgomery can get the box, more of a goal line type scenario situation. maybe even a couple of times, but I don't think he's going to run up and down the field on this defense. They will play zone, I think, a little bit more. It does play the on Ross St. Brown. This is a team that wants to play man, but again, if you don't have, you know, your best guys out there in the secondary, and I know Lattimore's out, then you know, you got to switch up what you're doing a little bit. So that does play Detroit's strength just a bit more. But I think ultimately this is a game where the injuries may help Detroit limp away with the victory. If Olave and another one of the receivers play, like Shahid plays or whatever, then I believe New Orleans has enough to win the football game. I want to go with New Orleans. I'm gonna take New Orleans here. I'm gonna say Detroit gets everything they can handle on the road, even with the injuries. I'm gonna be bold and I'm gonna say New Orleans finds a way to win at home. It's a good environment for them versus Detroit to pass the football. I believe next man up will win in this environment. And also just the Carr is not the best, but he is better than like 12 quarterbacks in the NFL right now. So let's see what he can do on Sunday. I'll give him a vote of confidence. They can go to 6-6 and keep the playoffs alive. Reload. The next game is going to be their division foes going up to New York to face the Jets. Atlanta Falcons going to New York to face the New York Jets. All right, so, you know, I don't think Breece Hall is going to have a great time trying to run the game now, run the football. Now, they're going to have to try to run just because Tim Boyle ain't the answer at quarterback, and you know, maybe he can get it to Garrett Wilson a few times, but I'm not expecting much there, Conklin maybe, but it just seems pedestrian. You got to run it with Breece Hall. I hope that defense keeps you in the game. You got Breece this season. They're playing. I hope he hits the home run. The Jets defense definitely in play here. Man-to-man coverage, I like that. I don't think, you know, Drake London and Kyle Pitts is going to be able to overcome that very easily. But I do like John Robinson at running back. They're starting to bring him on last week. Maybe Arthur Smith is smarter than he thought. Maybe he is saving his kids, saving those legs for this stretch down the season where they want to run them hard. If they want to do that, then maybe we can run along with them. But we know for this week, yes, let's go with John Robinson. I think that's fine play there. It's going to be a defensive stalemate in this game. Now, I will say that I will pick Atlanta over the Jets. Just I know the Jets are at home, but I don't think Boyle is going to give you anything that you can use at quarterback. And you can't win the game without that singular position, like, you know, defense and running back, all that, whatever. But schematically, it just doesn't work, right? And so Atlanta, a little bit more of a well-rounded team. Plus, they still got playoff hopes, bedazzling for sure, right? Like, if they win and New Orleans loses, you know, this is really them controlling their fate. So then it becomes, you know, their world. So Atlanta, I think, goes on the road to take this victory. Reload. Miami going to Washington. Miami facing one of their favorite kinds of matchups. A team that they are much better than. They love those, right? So for this one, Miami going to see probably a ton of man-to-man coverage. Washington does almost that more than anybody else in the league. So, and I surely believe they're going to lean into that because Tyreek Hill is, you know, an absolute monster versus zone. Now, he's a monster versus man, too. But zone is just unbelievably hard to stop them. I don't think they want to try that. So, he's in play for sure, but so is Waddle because of the man coverage. Waddle has enjoyed as much success as Tyreek Hill has in man coverage. So I think there's an opportunity definitely for him to be in play for sure against Washington. Absolutely. But both of them in play, no question, no doubt about it. Achan looks questionable if he's going to play. Definitely in play also if he's not going to play. Mostert in play for sure. I like the running back here. I don't get there in DFS. I think it's too expensive. But for seasonal, you got Mostert, play him. You got Achan, play him. If both of those guys play who you got. I don't think Miami is going to be interested in running Achan into the ground first game back against this Washington team that they should be up against, right? And so you can play both, it's fine, but certainly Miami, too, is going to lead the way in whichever receiver he feels like, right? The Miami defense rounding in. We talked about earlier in the year how we'll stash them and hope for, when at the end of the year when Jalen, I forget his last name. Do, 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 do. Ramsey. We talked about earlier in the year when Jalen Ramsey would get healthy, that this would help the defense become more complete, and we're seeing that, right? And so Miami in a great place. We got them playing the season, we'll feel fine. If you want to play them in DFS, that's great. I think there's cheaper plays, but fine. Miami certainly can play on the Washington side of things. Got to play Howell. They'll be chasing. They've shown, Airbnb has shown, they don't mind dialing up the throws with Howell. They're a pass-first team for sure. So definitely fading the run here. And they should be trailing big anyway. So Howell's in play. McLaurin's in play. I think most of these receivers. But certainly don't mind Samuel. Don't mind Dotson. If you got some pieces of those guys and it's bye week, you want to use them, go for it. No problem there. But Howell should be able to spread it around. I think they can do enough to get you the offense that you need. But certainly they lose this game against Miami and Washington. Reload. Sunday afternoon now, Carolina going on the road to Tampa Bay. Carolina just replacing Frank Wright, coming off that firing. So you know how it goes. Teams always fired up a game or two after that before that fizzles. They'll have that going for them. However, Carolina, they probably will still have problems stopping the run. So I do like Rashad White this week particularly. And they've been a little more stout against the pass. They're not super sloppy on the back end. I think Godwin's going to have a tougher day. Kate Oden probably going to also have a tougher day. But Michael Evans, Mr. Mike Evans, against this zone defense, a red-hot play, I think he's going to go underutilized, underpaid attention to. But he's in a scorching spot against a team that he knows how to beat. I like him. I was thinking about playing Baker Mayfield. I don't think you need to. Obviously, for seasonal thinking about it, I don't think you need to. You can get everything you need from Mike Evans. But he's in a smash spot along with Rashad White. On the other side of things, Tampa Bay defense should stay competitive against Carolina. But I do like Thielen. That's it. I mean, obviously in the season, if you got Hubbard, you got to play him, right? But I'm not expecting a week like last week where he scored a touchdown. If he gets that, great. But Tampa Bay is stout on the ground against the run. So it's really the pass is the way to go. You want to say Thielen. But that was the last regime. So it remains to be seen who the quarterback looks to, if Bryson plays better, if he doesn't play better. I know a lot of that is, kind of what's being discussed here. So if anything, I'm taking a chance with Thielen, but probably that's it. I don't want to take a chance with anything else besides Thielen. Tampa Bay, I believe, has a chance. They're going to win this football game. I know Carolina should play better, and it's going to be tough. They're not going to make it easy, but I do believe, like I said, that they will be able to find Evans. The run game is in play. Tampa Bay's defense has come up big in the last minute. All that should help. And Tampa Bay is still alive in the playoff race in the division. So they're playing for that. They're at home. I think the crowd will boost them over. They win this one. Reload. Then we get on to the big heavyweight matchup of the afternoon. San Francisco 49ers going on the road to play the Philadelphia Eagles. 49ers lose Brock Purdy early on in that game in the championship last year. And so, obviously, not much of a game there. Philly walks all over. Philly, San Francisco's the favorite here. I think Philly's had some hiccups in terms of consistency along the year. San Francisco, a little less. They're coming off with a couple of game win streak after having, those 3 they dropped in a row. Kind of refigured it back out there and started rolling again. Purdy's in a nice spot. The Philadelphia Eagles have problems with the back end in the secondary. This should be a nice game for Purdy. He's proven in these spots all year that he can succeed in the positive environment with play calling and Shanahan at his back. Now, on DraftKings, they're enticing you to play him by just making it affordable at 62 or 6100, whatever it is. Everybody's going to be doing it because it is such a nice play. Ayuk definitely in play. Kittle certainly in play. Debo Samuel in play too, but I definitely like Ayuk and Kittle. I think Kittle is definitely very much in play for sure. Kittle's probably the best tight end play on the day, in my opinion. But that's where Purdy looks. Now, McCaffrey, you can't count him out. This guy's still going to punch in a touchdown some way. Probably catch some passes. But it does need to be noted that Philadelphia is stout against the run. So, can he pay off in DFS? That I have less assurance about. So, I don't go there. But if you got him in season, play him and feel fine about that for sure. If you're going against McCaffrey this week, probably the best week to be doing it, but don't expect a zero. On the other side of things, Philadelphia, like I said, they've had some stumbles here and there, but they've also been resilient. Jalen Hurts has been able to change and adapt his game mid-game and come out and lead to some victories. And so this is going to be a big test for them. Now, San Francisco being the better team, I am going to say that Philadelphia is going to win this football game. They're playing really well. They're on the roll, and they've beaten a lot of tough teams already this year. They're rounding into form. They've played a lot tougher teams than San Fran has. And I think that level of competition is going to help them be ready right away in this one, right? And so they'll be on it. A.J. Brown is the guy. Devonta Smith is in play, too. Goddard's going to try to come back. 50-50 if he plays or not. He hasn't practiced yet. We'll see what happens tomorrow or Friday. But even if he doesn't play, it's not a great spot. Devonta Smith, decent spot. You got it in the season. I'm planning to feel fine about it. DFS, you want to go there? God bless. Got no problem with that either. But it's A.J. Brown, man. I mean, he can do no wonders. He can do no bad against, man coverage, zone coverage, however you want to cook it up. And I think when it comes down to it, they're going to play bully ball and go to their guy and get them the victory the best way that they can. The same way San Francisco plays bully ball with McCaffrey, A.J. Brown and the Eagles do it with Brown. And this is the game to do it. The San Francisco secondary is soft. They will not be able to contain him. There are other guys in great spots. But if San Francisco's ahead, it's coming down to it, they can just go to this guy, go to this guy. We've seen him beat 2 and 3 defenders before. This is his day. Philly's defense has one job. Keep him in the game, man. I think this is going to be a tougher play game than most people think. I think the score may be a little lower than most people think. But certainly there should be enough offense to go around for everybody is what I would suspect. And I am going to give this game to Philadelphia, even though it would appear that they are the lesser of the two teams. But they're at home and they're on a roll. I like Philly to win here and set the tone for the playoffs. Reload. Cleveland going to LA. But Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback. That's going to make this a muck of a game, right? It's a big defensive game for both. Maybe hit the under. No quarterback for Cleveland. Obviously looking to run with Ford. But running against the Rams is the best thing to do. Cooper's, going to have some play. Elijah Moore is interesting here. But again, quarterback play so inconsistent. I don't even know what to expect there or who's going to play. DTR got concussed all the way to the third week later, Hades last week or 2 weeks ago. So who knows if he's going to play. The Rams defense probably in a very good spot is what we're getting at. But if you got to play some Browns, make it 4-1. Seasonal, obviously. Only on the Rams side of thing, though, look, this is a top-notch Cleveland defense. Cleveland is 7-4. They are not giving up on their playoff hopes yet. And they get to 8-4. All they got to do is beat the Rams. The Rams are terrible against the rush. They're terrible against man coverage. Cleveland plays the number one amount of man coverage in the NFL. They play at the highest rate of any team in the NFL. So Rams are going to see that. Puka has not been great, but he's been the best. Kupp has not been great. These guys may be subdued. It's more of a Kyren Williams type of a game. Now, he, with the way they may move the ball, it's going to be a grittier game. Running the football and defense, and the same thing for Cleveland. I think it's going to be up to execution. Who can make 2 or 3 big-time throws on the last drive, last minute field goals to seal it? I'm going to give this one to Cleveland, though. I'm just going to say their defense is a little better than the Rams. They got a lot more to play for. I think they're motivated to go on the road and find a way to win this one. If Garrett doesn't play, that will change the scenario. Maybe Rams win. Reload. Sunday night, we got Kansas City and Green Bay. Look, Green Bay looks so great playing against Detroit, right? I don't think that that's the love that is the real love. And I really don't think that they have consistency that will show up this week. I like Kansas City. I like the Kansas City defense. Kansas City defense wants to play man a lot. And when you play this man coverage, typically that is good for Jaden Reed for Green Bay. They like to go to him a little bit more man coverage. He's coming on strong, scored a touchdown last week. He's getting rush attempts now too. So if you got him and you need to play him, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. He's probably the Green Bay receiver I like the most here. Dobbs probably in play as well. I like Green Bay to be chasing Dylan over Jones, but Dylan is not something that I'm looking for in DFS. If you need him in seasonal, right, start him. But if you got some other options, maybe go there. In a game they should be chasing. But definitely just looking at Jaden Reed. Dontavius Wicks is interesting, but probably got to go Dobbs after Reed. It's just so interesting because Love just throws to whoever. And that is what the pie charts read, you know. But you got to go with who seems to have the hot hand and seems to be Reed Dobbs. So that's on the offensive side for them. On the, you know, the offensive side of the ball for Kansas City. I mean, Kelsey's in play for sure. And the rest of the receivers can get a spread around. Rice is in play. He's the guy they go to against zone. Rebay will like to do a bunch of zone. But I just think Mahomes can pick them off. He's just going to dissect this defense. They're going to play better. The Kansas City defense is going to put the Green Bay offense in a precarious situation. I think they'll create short fields for Kansas City. Kansas City has a chance to get to 9-3 easily, continue to round up that playoff form. I think that's what happens for sure. Kelsey can be the lead receiver again. All the wide receivers, as I said, probably Rashee Rice. Pacheco is going to be interesting, as I believe they'll be ahead and just looking to run some clock here in a game that, honestly, I can't see Green Bay getting close to winning. And so that'll make it our last shot. We're going to make it a good one and reload for Monday night. Cincinnati going on the road to face Jacksonville. Cincinnati, another team with no quarterback. Story of the league this year. Especially as these defenses are prevailing anyway, right? So definitely don't have a quarterback here in trouble. But Cincinnati going on the road. Run game is nowhere to be found in Cincinnati. And I think, you know, without a quarterback, it's easy to throw eight to box against Mixon. So I'm out there. You know, Chase caught a couple of batted passes last week to make his week interesting. But we're not going to count on that sort of thing at all, period. So I'm out on that for sure. I don't like Cincinnati's offense much at all. Now, in terms of their defense going up against the Jacksonville offense, you know, they're going to play a bunch of zone, and I do like Jacksonville's opportunities there. I think that Trevor Lawrence can get it to a couple of his guys, but most importantly, I do like Christian Kirk this week. Ridley's been coming on strong, and I know people are going to be looking at him, but I think this is more of Christian Kirk. He is the preferred option for them when it comes to zone coverage, and Cincinnati's playing a soft zone right now. They can be beat for sure. Etienne, interesting running, but that's not really the path to victory against Cincinnati. He can get some goal line work for sure, but they kind of been mixing it up back there too, maybe keeping him fresh for the playoffs as they seem to be pulling ahead. So I don't expect too much there, but I think for sure, you know, if I had to pick one of the receivers, it's Christian Kirk. You know, Trevor Lawrence, if you need him, but I don't know why you would need him this Monday night. I'm not playing showdown matches or anything, certainly not the season, but the Jacksonville defense can be the story of this one. They shouldn't have to do much to beat this Cincinnati offense and help this team get to 9-3 and keep their playoff hopes rolling. That's our reload for this week. That's how I see it. Hopefully, I hope you guys make your calls really clear cut. Don't make it complicated. We got a lot of bad quarterback play that separates these tiers of teams. And so, you know, again, don't overcomplicate things for yourself.
And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
Well, finally, let's do our DFS picks and get you guys out of here. Going to keep it real simple for you for week 13. So quarterback, Purdy is going to be real popular, and I think Hurts also, as I mentioned. In reload, we're going to go with Russ Wilson at $5,700. Houston has been giving up yards lately, and the Broncos are starting to click with 5 straight Ws, so let's ride Russ. We're going to pair him in the flex with Corlin Sutton. He and Judy both in play, and as we mentioned this episode, Judy may be slightly more efficient, but Sutton gets the volume, especially in his own coverage. Now, in terms of wide receivers, A.J. Brown, and Sutton was $5,400, sorry. So you're saving a lot of salary, though. Russ at $5,700 and Sutton at $5,400. That's going to help us do some paying up. A.J. Brown, $8,800. The Philadelphia defense has some holes, and San Fran should be able to take advantage. This will force Philly to throw to stay in the game in man coverage or zone. Hurts will be able to find Brown no problem. We want to lock that in. Mike Evans, $7,700 for paying up too. I know the Panthers will, you know, have some fire after Reich was let go, but Mike Evans has played for sure. Tougher day for Godwin. And then the third receiver we're going to go with is Josh Downs at $5,100. As we mentioned before, a bunch of reasons to play him. Bunch of, like, you know, argue me why not to play him. Salary saver with great upside. Tennessee is god-awful versus the pass. Taylor's hurt. He's down. So we got Moss again this week. Tennessee solid versus the run as well. So they're shorthanded their running back against the defense. Is a really good versus the running back. Downs has been consistent all year. This is a team that they can pass against. It just looks like he can pay out $5,100 pretty easy, which helps us afford two marquee wide receivers to go along with Sutton and Wilson. Running back, we're paying down. We're doing the Warren and Harris thing again, as I mentioned in Reload. $5,400 for Warren, $5,200 for Harris versus the Arizona defense. They can't stop a running nose. Pittsburgh, I know they passed a lot last week, or 400 yards. You know, they don't have a lot of points to show for it, though. 16 points still. I know they fired Canada. I know that's supposedly turning things around, but I'm living in the real world here, folks, and stick to what works. Play some good defense. Rush the quarterback, Kyler Murray, and run that football. I like Warren and Harris. You use them both just like we did before for victory. We've done that in the soft spot before and seen both of them pay off. I think that week 18 and 17 or 19 and 17 from the, each of them. So let's hope for that again and use them. And then we'll put Cleveland at defense, $3,100 against the Rams. Just talked about the reasons why they should stomp all over them. So that is the DFS lineup that I like. But I want to mention, guys, I was kicking around some things earlier in the week, and I just made a lineup and, you know, only really looked at it right before I went back to record today. And it's not this lineup we just went over. I'm going with what I told you. But I just think that it's interesting how it was still Russ and Sutton in the flex, still paying down with Warren and Harris. Defense, I had, you know, Panthers over Cleveland. I think Cleveland's a better choice there. But also, you know, I think the biggest thing was probably instead of A.J. Brown, I had Devontae Smith. And instead of Josh Downs, I had Michael Pittman. So we had those flipped there. And I think Mike Evans was still in there. So a lot of synergy around those games is what I'm getting at. That's, you know, where I think the points are going to come from. And points have been at a premium this season, as we've seen with defense on the rise. So that's what we think is going to shake down this week, week 13. Hopefully those DFS picks help you guys make some fantastic picks, make some money. Good luck if you're playing on Sunday. Seasonal, let's go get them. Let's round it into the playoffs. Guys, you know what the drill is. We'll watch it all fold on Sunday, and then we'll come right back here next week, talk about how we did, and get ready for week 14. Peace.
The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.